Network powered by Spotify. Cousins Al coming to you. Hey, we have Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds of D3, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How we doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Brother Bri, coming off a great week. I'm glad you asked me what's going on, buddy. 11-3-1. Nice job. Good job by you.
Nice.
I think you split. Very did nice. You split Monday night? I think you were like 10-2-1, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I thought for a second I was going to get 12-2-1, but we didn't want Simmons going 15-0, so it's fine.
Well, that's the other thing. The sportsist guy was 13-0 going into Monday. He had, whatever. If you're 13-0, I'm not going to convince you of anything. But on the podcast, I said, take both underdogs. He did take the Giants win. That was my upset of the week. And then he took the Miami Dolphins, and we were texting back and forth. He had it. He had it for like 10 minutes, right? And then with about 15 minutes left in the week, and then Miami got on the bus early. I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll hit that game. Yeah. We'll recap some of the other week 14 matchups, preview week 15 games. We have a trifecta of NFL Saturday games. My goodness, so exciting. Jaden Daniels, congratulations. Parlay Kid wins the Heisman. We're going to talk in-season tournament. Otani's a Dodger. But right now, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the D3 in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, I'll start us off because you haven't heard me talk enough so far in the last 3 minutes. Let's talk about that Dolphins game Monday night. I have four parlays tied to the Dolphins money line. This is how they say to do it. Just put a team that's a prohibitive favorite. Doesn't really add any value to any parlay. Just end it all with that one. That's your ride or die odds increaser for no reason. Weird game. Tyreek Hill, I figure, is going to get open once downfield, and that's all I need. But a terrible, sloppy game. Four Dolphins go out in the first five snaps, I think. Mostert, Hill, Waddle, Howard on defense. Then the center goes out. Most of them come back in, but Tyreek Hill looks possessed. I mean, he's running on and off the field. With different injuries, whatever. But it's a garbage game. I got a pick six. Some fat guy runs it in. I'm like, all right, that should be enough. Will Levis on the road. Somehow it's 10-7 Titans at half. And then the Dolphins turn it on. They're running well. Tennessee screws up a punt return. It's 27-13 with 3 and change left in the fourth. The Dolphins lead. They're looking great. Simmons about to go 15-0. I don't know anyone who's done that. Levis goes down and scores. They go for two, down six. Okay. Dolphins 3 and out. Tua can't scramble for 4 yards. It ain't happening. Titans score again. Tua sacked. I don't even know if Tyreek was on the field, Parlay Kid, at the end, but they were the first team in 767 games. That's how bad a better I am. First game team in 767 games to blow a 14-point lead in regulation with 3 minutes left. Parlay Kid, our high school coach was a buffoon, but one thing he said was prevent defense prevents you from winning. And I think he might have been right about that. I don't know what the hell happened.
Strange, because we ever have to do a prevent defense? Like I
no,
feel
that's
like
true.
We,
yeah,
we right. never had a lead. So I don't know when
your quarterback Sal would have to throw really,
I know he said that, but it was like I don't know in terms of
well, we were tied sometimes.
Sure.
I owed you one, Darren. I owed you one.
We'll get to you, Harry. We got some fantasy stuff to talk about later. That was disgusting. Bri, you got one equally as bad, I think. I was on this too.
Yeah, I mean, it was really bad. I think when we went over it, I forget last week what the line was when we went over it for the Army-Navy game. But I ended up on the under 27.5, which is crazy that that's the number I got. I didn't get a higher number, right? And mm-hmm. It's getting stupid with that game, right? Last year, there was no way that was going over. It goes overtime, back-to-back touchdowns.
Double overtime, yep.
Double mm-hmm. overtime, and it covers
double OT.
Pretty easily. This one's 10-0 going into the fourth. 10-0 going to fourth. No chance going over. It's 10-3, 7 minutes left. We have under 27.5.
Right.
Army recovers the fumble for a touchdown. And this is where it got dumb, Sal, because then Navy, we complain about these offenses all the time and how boring it is, even though I kind of like it. Mm. Navy just kept passing the ball down the field, and Army literally played every D-back like 20 yards off every receiver, right? So they come down, they score.
Prevent
they
go for defense prevents right. you from winning.
I just want to say
they
that
play prevent offense too. It's yeah. amazing, right? And they fail on the 2-point conversion. So we get lucky there, right? And then of course Army 3-and-out because you know what they're running there. And then Navy gets the ball back. Now Navy again passing the ball down the field, 15 yards every pass. So quickly they came down the field. It's amazing, right? They stopped them. On the inch line. They stopped them on the inch line, but we knew at that point.
I text you immediately. Safety coming? Question mark.
Yeah, you knew it. You knew it's over because the safety didn't mean anything. You know, it was to Army's benefit there to just take the safety. They take the safety, 27-11. It goes over.
17-11. Yeah, 17-11 finals.
17-11, yeah. Screw job. Amazing. 28. Amazing.
Went over. I had a push on it too, but, and you know, people were saying, oh, well, you're lucky you got the goal line stand. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. It's 10-0 heading into the fourth quarter. This Navy quarterback, Bry, had 0 yards passing. He was 0-for-3 with 0 yards passing leading, you know, going into halftime. And then, like you said, he just turns it on, which angers me even more that we have to watch this crap fest for an hour and a half. These bull two wedges, Parley kid, right up the middle. 90 minutes, we're not seeing nothing. Oh, look, it's cold. They're shooting the cannon off. This is great. If your guy could pass, throw a pass in there every now and then. Why can he complete all these passes when it counts against us? Yeah, it's terrible, Bri. We got to stay off that under. It looks so good all the time. But
we're taking it again.
Screw job. We're
going to take the under 22 and a half next year.
Yeah. All right. Mikey Meatballs, let's hear the music. That's it for BetX. It's just me and Bri.
When a bet makes you sick. And you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, so let's go over some of these games from week 14, and then we'll jump into week 15 to look at headlines. There's some interesting ones out there. Parley Kid, it's not all bad. It's not all bad. We had a great weekend. Cowboys 33, Eagles 13. Pretty damn good. Stephon Gilmore, I'm not going to say he merges, but I feel like there's. He could shut down any receiver he's about to face from now to the end of the year. That's great news. We have a kicker who's barely leaning into his kicks and making them from 55, 58, 59. You think it was the best day for a kicker ever. It really might have been. Dak, terrific. MVP right there. We'll talk about that in a second. What were your impressions of this game? We beat him down. I don't know that would mean it's enough to win the division, but 33-13 is promising.
Yeah, well, you have to feel good about it. I think, Sal, it's time I mentioned this a week or two ago. Time to give Mike McCarthy some props here. The guy's running the ship. You know, he's the head coach. And he's calling plays, and he's doing a heck of a job.
And with no appendix.
Leading this offense. And I got to be honest with you. I thought the Eagles, boy, they look beat up. They just look sluggish. They didn't have that... I was not impressed. And we know they can kind of control their own destiny here too, going throughout the season, but I don't know. I could still see another slip up here. I didn't even think Dak was great the other night. I really think he was good. I don't think he was great, but that's a good thing, right? Right. He played good and not great. And they still kind of controlled that ball game. Big test coming up this week. So big test as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills, it's fun. I do want to talk about Dak for a second, Harry. Tied now. Actually, I haven't looked this morning, but I think he and Purdy are tied, which is a little weird to me. I've had plus 155 for Dak, plus 165 on FanDuel. I feel like people are screaming all year long about McCaffrey. And then Samuel heats up, and as do the 49ers, and it's like, oh, this is Brock Purdy's award. So I don't know about that. I think it's Dak Prescott's, and I think like what Parley Kid says, this Bills game is big. He's got to win some big ones to maintain it. But how about this, Harry? Is Dak Prescott, I had him at 8 going into the season. Is he a top 4 quarterback in the NFL?
Well, maybe so. I mean, look, Dallas, a lot of these wins, again, remember, against sub-500 teams. But this Dallas team does lead the NFL in point differential. San Francisco second. 5 wins in a row. and they scored 33 points or more in all of them. They're an offensive juggernaut, especially at home. But I still think the MVP for the NFL and the Heisman are kind of the awards don't go to exactly who they're supposed to. I still think it should be McCaffrey that wins it right now because of his numbers overall. Hill took a big hit last night. He's out of the running probably for MVP after just having getting injured and only having 60 yards and Miami losing that game. But again, Dak's numbers over the past five, six games are tremendous, no doubt about it. So he's definitely there. And Dallas is, you know, one, like Darren just said, one more slip up by Philly and Dallas could have the division.
Here's why Harry thinks McCaffrey should be MVP, because he convinced his master, Ken, to bet McCaffrey to win the MVP, despite the fact that running backs don't ever get any votes in these things, at least for the last 10 or 12 years.
That's why it's a warped, it's kind of a warped award. They don't get, and same with what Darren 2 years ago, Cooper Kupp should have won it. No doubt about
boss,
it.
Hey, boss, this is a warped award. So bet into the warp here. Here you go. I'm going to open up the warp for you.
He actually comes out. That's the first time he's ever listened to me, ever. That's
not a good time. Not a good time to jump in there. But by the way, people talk Tyreek Hill for MVP. This Mostert, his Mostert's numbers are crazy. He's got, does he have 18 touchdowns, Bri?
17, I think.
No, but I think he has 16 and two. Does he have 16 total? 16 running and two receiving.
Yeah.
When you have another player like that on the team, I'm not saying Dak doesn't get help from the defense and CeeDee Lamb and everybody and Ferguson. Been great too. Do you want to apologize for Ferguson, Harry? I know you and the Parlay Kid went at it. Ferguson's
pretty good. Ferguson's decent. Schultz. His numbers are decent. Sure, they're good.
Parlay Kid, Harry was singing Schultz's praises.
What are you going to do? He's hurt.
I don't think played another game. I don't know.
Everybody's hurt. Ever since,
right?
Everybody's hurt on the Texans.
We may never see another snap out of Dalton Schultz for the Texans or any team. All right, listen, I'm ready to put Dak in the top four. I think at some point. The Dak Lamar comparison is right there. What if Dak takes us within a game of the Super Bowl? I'm getting ahead of my skis here, but I don't know. What will he have not accomplished that Lamar did?
What? I'll give Dak some props. At least he got Gallup in the end zone. If you get Gallup in the end zone,
there you go.
You get tons of credit for that.
All right. Bills Chiefs 2017. I was disappointed in Mahomes and Andy Reid with this Kadarius Toney thing. I want to talk about this. They've walked it back here. They both apologized, especially Mahomes. I had never seen a reaction except for maybe in a movie, a post game handshake reaction like that. You don't expect that from Mahomes or anybody. He says to Josh Allen, worst call I've ever seen. I'm paraphrasing, but something like that. Like Josh Allen must be like, all right, dude, thanks. Good game. You played great, too. Like, I don't know what he's supposed to do, but I think maybe they went in the locker room and saw the replay and saw that Kadarius Toney was a yard and a half offsides and maybe realized they've been getting calls. I'll give you that, Harry. The Chiefs get calls over the last couple of years, so maybe we can keep our mouths shut, but maybe it's also misplaced anger. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, well, how many times is Tony going to screw them, right, throughout the year? So, I mean, at some point, you know, our buddy Trevor, I was shocked. He told us, you know, this is on the Chiefs. They're the ones to blame. It has nothing to do with the officials. The officials made the right call there. Yeah, and again, even if I know we were sent video yesterday with, like, Tony, it's like the question is, even if he pointed down the line, he just points and doesn't even look at it anyway. He just looks right back and he realizes, I'm a yard over the ball. Like it's not even close. So I couldn't believe, you know, Mahomes being a Raiders fan, the Chiefs, right? I've hated them my whole life, but Mahomes was the one guy I always, you know, I had respect for and I kind of hated that he was on the Chiefs,
right.
But I do feel like, after that, I mean, my hatred towards the Chiefs just went up like 100%.
Yeah,
even
you're
more.
On board, but, Brian. You're on board.
I know, but I will say they completely walked it back today.
Yeah, right.
And they watched the video. They said they probably like, Tony's been an idiot for us anyway, and he apologized. He said the thing he was most embarrassed about was the comment he made to Allen, which again, that's a you never see that.
No,
you never see quarterbacks giving excuses to
scripted.
Somebody else.
Right.
Yeah,
wait
see that.
45 seconds and cry about it with your teammates.
Josh Allen, that was the worst call I've ever seen. Good luck in the playoffs.
Paulie Kidd, you and I talk about this. Like, I don't even think it should be a thing now. And I know on the high school level, the middle school level, you as a receiver could ask the official, am I lined up correctly? I don't even get why that's part of the game. They get that out of the game. Why? Whereas we have to leave it up to, well, no, the official gave me a thumbs up or he gave me the hand gesture. No, he was talking about something else. Like, is it the referee's job to determine pre-snap when the clock's running often if everybody's onside? It seems crazy responsibility to throw at them.
I think that's where people get the mistake with this is Tony's not asking the ref there if he's onside or offsides. He's telling the ref that he's on the ball rather than off the ball. So the alignment is correct, right? That's what he's saying to the ref when he comes up. Like, that's what hand in front of your body means I'm on the ball. Hand behind your body means I am off the ball. Because, right, you can't have too many men on the line of scrimmage. That's what they're signaling to the ref. It's not up to the ref to say, you're offside, you got to move back a little bit. Or
but that goes
on back,
too,
you got to move
right?
up a little bit.
That goes on, too, where they look at him and say, hey,
we've seen that happen.
Is it up to the refs a couple games ago on Monday night when the refs should have told the Bills against Denver that they had 12 guys on the field and that someone needs to get out?
That's not up to the refs.
Yeah. The refs are not. There is communication about onside, off on the ball or off the ball. I don't know if people are getting confused what I'm saying. I know what you're saying.
It's a separate thing, but I don't think you should be able to ask anything. Like, we have a picture of what they look like.
Was it the Commanders where there was some controversy?
Was it
the Giants game where
the ref kind of
told it, yes, you're good. You're good. You're on the ball. And then they ran a play and then they threw a flag saying there were too many men in the backfield or something like that because they called the guy off the ball or vice versa. Or they said there was too many men on the line of scrimmage when the guy communicated with the ref. That happens.
I don't think they should have anything to do with what this group that's villainized every week.
Too many
for
things
their plays.
Going on, but
yeah,
I think that is part of the ref's job is to know how many guys are on, how many guys are off. And
I can't believe. What if you have three guys yelling the instruction? You have to give an instructional video with the clock running before the snap. I can't even believe that this is still a thing.
I think it's the side ref right there on each side.
Why isn't the offensive coordinator saying, hey, we're good if we do this or we're bad if we do this. And this is what this looks like. And they'll let it go. And this is what it looks like. But they don't. I mean, now it's, but I know what you're saying. It is different from lining up in the neutral zone, right? So they keep maybe showing the wrong thing or something. But he was in the neutral zone.
I mean, he was so far over the ball. How you have to call that. Can you imagine if they didn't call that?
No,
you can't fix offsides, Darren.
What I find funny about it with Tony is it wasn't like Tony was like on the sideline, like as close to the sideline, he couldn't really judge where the ball was. He was very close to the ball. He was almost lined up where like a tight end would line up.
Right.
And he still couldn't tell. Like, that's just.
And he's looking at the ball. He's looking right at the ball. And we have the benefit of the line and everything else. But I get it. Everybody wants to get a start, a good jump on the ball. But a receiver is not going to get touched. We're going to give him some slack over these linemen with tush pushes and everywhere. Every millisecond and millimeter counts. Are you kidding me?
He said something like 2 years ago that was only called once, though, in the whole season.
Right. Now it's called 11 times this year.
Yeah, I mean, but you would think that there's players that are lined up wrong more than that, but.
I know. Listen, there's inconcontency all around, but
in a world where
we blame the referees for everything, can we just take this?
Right.
Can we take this off their plate? You know.
Well, the one thing is that, like, again, for a professional player, it's one thing. I mean, I could see like high school, right? You're playing you're playing on a dirt crap field in high school. Yes. You're playing in the snow in the pros. Like, you're not going to probably be able to tell, maybe potentially. So I could see there, but like in that situation, again, it's so.
But Brian, I'm so overly crazy the other way with this, because even in like travel league baseball, if an umpire is instructing the opposing pitcher on what he could do to avoid being called a balk, I'm looking at our coach and be like, What part of the game is this where the umpire's allowed to talk? Like, coaches should be going over with their kids. Where in the game does this fit with the umpire saying, no, this is how you do it? Well, I know I'm an idiot.
Exactly what you're saying happened. I was watching my daughter's basketball game last night, and there should have, like, on one play, right, there should have been a foul. And the ref tells the girl, you can hear him tell her not to do it.
Right.
And it's like, wait, how about you just call the foul?
Yeah, exactly. Because at some point, Harry's right. When do you warn somebody that they have 12 men in the huddle?
Right.
Or would you have a guy like, what are you allowed to say and what are you not allowed to say?
It's one thing if it's third grade and it's instructional, whatever, that's fine. Like, totally get that. But like, as you get older,
I put the cutoff at 6.5 years old, but that's fine. Whatever you say. All right.
Yeah, Browns, I'm forgetting. Jags. You're still talking about 10-year-old baseball. Yeah,
I know. I'm still talking about that. Not yet 10. In a couple weeks. All right. Browns, Jags. Browns win that game. That was my best bet of the week. I almost lost. They were up 2 touchdowns. They end up winning 31-27. Lawrence plays on a high ankle sprain, which we know is nothing. This is just the sniffles, right? You walk it off, right? Parlay kid. It used to be on a Tuesday, you were in a boot. And now it's like you're a full participant in practice on Tuesday. And I am thinking our buddy Little A is not going to like this, but Joe Flacco might be a top 5 quarterback in the AFC playoffs. Maybe 4 if we see CJ Beathard against the Jaguars.
Oh, my gosh.
Taking snaps of the Jaguars. But that's heating up. Boy, the Bears, 28-13, Harry. They didn't give the Lions a chance. I had the Lions big in this game. I was like, they're a little embarrassed. They almost lost to the Bears at home. Mm-hmm. Craziness. Now, all of a sudden, Justin Fields, it's not a slam dunk that they draft a quarterback in the first round, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, my Lions are looking extremely shaky.
Oh, yeah, your Lions. Picks I forgot.
In the last 4 games. But no, you're right. I don't think the Bears should give up on Fields either. He's only 24 in year 3.
Darren, buried this guy for 2 or 3 years saying he was the worst quarterback in the league. Now you say they shouldn't give up on him. You should have been.
Hear me out.
Because I was. There were not. We a lot of us were saying that you slandered this guy. And now you're going to say they shouldn't give up. What a genius!
Harry's
take.
Week to week.
What a listen, genius!
He's
take.
Week to week, Harry. Come on, you know this.
Gosh.
Listen, in these 3 years, he has 2,000 yards rushing, Darren. 2,000 yards rushing brings a different dynamic.
And guess what? He had a lot of those rushing yards last year when you were killing him. What are you talking about?
A lot of bad picks.
So apologize. Say you were way off on Justin Fields.
I was off, but I'm not saying I'm way off. I'm saying I'm off. Listen, this is what they do, Darren. They have these 2 early picks in the draft. You go out and do what you can to get Ohio State Buckeye Harrison, and you get an offensive lineman. That's what you do with the 2 picks, and you keep Fields.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And all by the way,
now
the
you
way,
keep Fields.
With Minnesota
now you keep
beating
Fields.
Brian.
Last year, you said he was the worst guy. He should not be on an NFL field. You said he shouldn't be on an NFL field.
You're going a little far.
No.
I didn't
that's
go that
the truth.
Far. But
one
Detroit,
went far.
Yeah. Detroit, for the division, is -850. They have a 2-game lead over Minnesota. And Minnesota hasn't played Detroit yet, so this is crazy that Minnesota, after a 3-0 win, could still win the division.
So hold on. Harry is going not only against his pick of Justin Fields to be a flop, but his Lions, his words, his Lions now are going to blow the NFC North and +650 for the Vikings. It's a good pick because Nick Mullins, 2 games out of the division lead, is going to make this up.
Detroit's got Dallas still. Minnesota's got Cincy, Detroit,
and
Green Bay.
How Harry hedges everything. Because this year now, if Fields is like an MVP candidate, he'll say, hey, remember that podcast when I said the Bears should keep Fields? I was right. You're wrong, Harry.
Pick ratio, he still is plus 10.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my
all right. This is what he does. This is what he does, Parley Kid. He's
touchdowns in 3 years.
He's the original hedgehog. Harry the Hedgehog.
He's already got more rushing touchdowns than Troy Aikman's ever had there.
Detroit's going to win, but hey, now I'm just going to mention Minnesota because then I could say, hey, I told you Minnesota was going to win that division. This is it.
No, Paul,
he's got the Bears. The Vikings
smoke
have a shot.
Mirrors.
They can control their own
smoke
destiny.
And mirrors.
Vikings
smoke
control
mirrors.
Their own destiny is what I'm saying.
I'll give you 9-1 odds, and you could root against your own team. I don't even know how you'll root anymore, but
give me 9-1
on that. Yeah, I'll give you 9-1. Same odds I'll give you to win our fantasy title, which we'll talk about. All right.
I'm rolling.
Brian, I'm gonna wipe that smile right off your face. The Raiders lost 3-0 to the Vikings. I'd like to say this is a new low for you, but this is probably like 14th or 15th on your list for this team.
No, I mean, look, that game, I mean, look, for as bad as that game was, I mean, it shows you a couple of things for the Raiders, right? At least defensively, right? They have played well under Pierce. In general, they've played well defensively. And it shows you, look, you need a quarterback. Even O'Connell, I think, could be a serviceable backup, right? I think there's enough I've seen over the couple of weeks where it could be a backup. Unless the line is great, can't really be a starter. You need somebody who can move a little bit. So
I agree, but serviceable backups are going to, we're going to see three serviceable backups in the playoffs at least,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely be starting at some point in the future, but everybody else is winning around them, right?
Right.
Teams like the Jets, the Giants, all these teams are starting to win. So the Raiders might as well be competitive, play hard, and lose at this point, right? Because you want to get inside that top eight, especially with some of these quarterbacks.
Oh, man, it's so crazy. All right. Now, another quarterback we all killed, and now he's America's sweetheart, at least Italian America's sweetheart, Tommy DeVito and the Giants Monday night, 24-22 field goal at the buzzer, which was predicted by Eddie Murphy's character, Prince Akeem, in Coming to America. Check it out. He does predict that over the Packers. It was, you know, about 30 years late, but what are you going to do?
Eddie Spaghetti or Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, that one. Eddie Murphy, I think, Eddie Spaghetti is going to have Tommy DeVito at his wedding party, I think. The Tommy D stuff is terrific. Some of it a little racist, I'll say. The network's taking liberties with some of the Italian stereotypes, but I guess that's fine. This agent, though, looks straight out of Central Casting. I got about a dozen texts making the comparison to my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon. And then he's on the phone on the sideline before the game. Baby Doll says he's over the top. That's how you know it's crazy. Pauly Kid, how long does this guy last, this agent? I mean, he's fun to have around, but if Tommy DeVito is, you know, if he's going to spend a week on a practice squad somewhere, I guess, yeah, okay, I'll get you a couple grand or something. But if he's looking at any kind of contract, you have to get a real guy in there, right? Like, who does this guy rep? Snooki and Mario Bosco? Well, who the hell? What players does he have?
I don't know. I'm kind of liking it. I don't know. Doesn't it just all work with the image they're trying to create for him? So maybe it's maybe it's a good thing. So good for him. I think this is a great. It really is a great story, right? I mean, the first game or two that DeVito was on the field this year, like he looked like totally incompetent, right? But it really,
well, that Jets game had like 8 yards passing.
They wouldn't let him throw the ball more than 2 yards. Like it was more like a coaching thing, right? But now they're letting him, and I think, see, this is what's great, and these are the type of backups you need. You need backups that can run the ball, like quarterbacks that can make yards with their legs.
Sure,
to me, because. Because he's a backup, they can run him 10 times a game. Like they're not, it's not a $50 million investment, right? Like for them. So they can use him a little differently than, I mean, well, Daniel Jones was running the ball a lot too, but
what you're seeing on the field, better than Jones. He's just better than Jones. Jones doesn't win a game like that. And when you need a drive at the end of the game, Jones just doesn't do that for New York.
He might throw that intermediate ball he throws is a pretty good ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he had like 100 yards going into the fourth quarter.
He had 70 yards rushing.
I will say, if he was a guy who was playing long term, how could he stay healthy? How hard he was running?
I know. I mean,
Darren, how about this for a stat, Darren?
First undrafted rookie to win 3 straight starts without a pick. Ever in NFL history.
Yeah, that's something. I like how Harry interrupts Brian to give Darren a stat that for some reason only Darren is going to appreciate. I don't know.
I think what he was doing is taking a shot at Tony Romo there.
No, I'm not.
I can't keep track anymore.
Romo's undrafted, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Tommy DeVito. I mean, this should be the new. There should be a reboot of Jerry Maguire, right? With this agent, it's really terrific. It's really. It's a huge December for Italian Americans in the NFL. You got Big Dom. You got Tommy DeVito and his family and his agent. I feel like if Taylor Swift does a 23andMe and finds out she's 0.7% Sicilian, we're in good shape. I mean, it's the world is going to blow up. All right. Listen, let's take a quick break and then we're going to look ahead to the week 15 games. We'll be right back. All right, week 15. Everybody's playing now. The byes are over with. Saturday, there are three NFL games. My goodness. I have my kid's birthday party and my middle kid, Jack's wrestling tournament. How the hell am I going to pull this off, Brian? How am I doing this? How am I watching all three? And all well, three.
Is there service in schools when you go? Like by us, you could barely get on a phone.
I don't know where. Yeah, this thing's like 45 minutes away. I think my best bet is that hanging out at that tournament and blowing off Harrison's party on the beach, because I actually have to talk to people there, whereas I could hang out in the bleachers and maybe get a signal and see these. But it's three games, and miraculously, all three games involve teams over 500. Yeah. But let's start Thursday night, which involves teams who are not close really to 500. Las Vegas, your team, Bri, 3-point favorite, 33.5 versus the Chargers. I was going to say Clippers. I have LAC written down here. I think the Clippers might put up a better fight. Vegas giving 3 is crazy, but Easton Stick, Bri, are you up to the challenge? Are you up to the challenge covering 3 against Easton Stick?
I know. Look, I don't want to win these games. And the thing is, look, the Chargers Raider games are always great, right? Yeah. They are always come down to the wire. I wouldn't be surprised even with these quarterbacks going for this game. I wouldn't be surprised if this is close.
I mean, we saw a 3-0 game in the dome, basically, and now it's 33.5 in the same venue. Craziness. Cincinnati parlay kid, 3.5-point favorite, 39.5 against Minnesota. Harry's new darling back on Minnesota, NFC North, plus 650. This is the early game Saturday. I think this is where the Vikes depart. Mm-hmm. I have them to make the playoffs and everything. Mm. Jake Browning, a 3.5-point favorite over Nick Mullins. And yet I'm excited for this parlay kid. I think it's a fun one. You had Cincinnati. That was your best bet last week, and it won fairly easily, right?
Well, it did, Sal. I'll be jumping on them too. I think this is a pretty nice number for them. But boy, man, I mean, it was kind of sad to see Dobbs come out of that game.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like he kind of saved their season. And then it's like, man, he can't, like, what happened? It's so strange.
Well, I think he tried to get Jefferson killed as a problem. Right. And now you have a criminal charge against you throwing over there. No. And Jefferson is trending to play, I think. So that'll be fun. Yeah. I feel bad for him too. And that's why I try not to get too excited about the Jake Brownings and the Tommy DeVito's of the world. And even to an extent, Jordan Love. I feel like they end up, you know, disappointing you. We're gonna, one of those, all of those are going to end up screwing us in the next month. Indianapolis, 2.5-point favorite over Pittsburgh. 42 is the over on the Bri. Another backup fest between teams somehow with 500 records. I would like both of these teams out of the playoffs. Give me Stroud. Give me Browning. Give me Flacco. Give me Russ, obviously, and Josh Allen, obviously, over any of these guys. How do you feel?
Well, look, I'll say the Colts, though, at least they're somewhat more exciting, right? Their offense at times can be pretty good. I mean, there's usually a boneheaded play in there. But, yeah, I just can't. There's the Steelers team. They're just not likable at all.
I was way
just
off.
So boring.
I don't know why I had the Steelers as a favorite Sunday night when I first saw this game. But I just thought, you know, they get public money. But then again, they lost to losing to the Patriots at this point in the season really should just eliminate you from the playoffs. Anyway, I was wrong with this game too, Parley Kid. The Bills and Cowboys. I thought our boys would be favored by one. You think this is fair? Bills 2.5. They need it more. I guess this is just going to be the story the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, I would have been off on this number too, but I couldn't argue with it either, because I think these are always the real test games, right? Like now, Cowboys have been dominating at home in the nice, cozy confines, right, of their stadium. Now you're going to go into Buffalo, New York. It's not going to be terrible, Sal. It's actually, I think, going to be touching 50 on Sunday, possibly upper 40s, but still a different environment. By 4 o'clock, you know, you get some winds off the lake there, and then things can change pretty rapidly. So must win situation for the Bills. We talked about the Packers having a letdown game last week after a big win against the Chiefs. This, I hate to say it, but could this feel like a kind of a letdown week for the Cowboys in a way?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, where the Bills are kind of flying high too. They could be let down, but they're coming back home. I always think when you come back home after a big win, mm-hmm. you can still stay up. And they need it. The Bills need this, Sal.
It's a coin flip for them to make the playoffs. I kind of feel like they have to go 3-1. They may have to go 4-0, right? I think 3-1. 3-0, Brian, gets it done for them? 3-1.
Yeah. 3-1.
All right, so yes is minus 104. Meanwhile, the Cowboys, to our point here, Parlay Kid, we can get very excited about it, but FanDuel doesn't believe in them either. That line did not move that much after the win over the Eagles to take the NFC East. The Eagles are still minus 320, Cowboys plus 240. I know. We're looking at a 5-seed.
I kind of like the Cowboys get through this. They might run the table. I think this is the one. I think this is the one that scares me the most.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a tough one for sure. Right? The one thing I'll say, Harry, is FanDuel and Vegas are giving us these big games on a platter, I feel like. When the number seems wrong, at least it seemed wrong to me, when San Francisco was like a 3-point favorite over Philly in Philly, when Philly had a better record and everything else, but not the case. San Francisco beat him up. It seemed wrong to me when Buffalo and the Chiefs, is that the right? Yeah. Buffalo and the Chiefs. That was like a 1-point spread after a Chiefs coming off a loss. Like, if you read into these lines enough, they're laying it out for you, I feel.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then. There's the game we're not going to cover, but let me run this by you, because the one line in the NFL this week that I think is very fishy, very odd, very strange. Cleveland coming off the way they played, the way Flacco looked. He looked fantastic.
Flacco?
Flacco.
He's been in the league for 55 years.
Why are they, after what they've done, and your Browns, why are they only a 3-point favorite at home against the Bears? That is a very weird number.
I agree. It's a rat line. Why? For sure.
I got one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game right now.
you answered your question for you.
I mean, it's again, it's like, well
I was surprised that the Lions were only a 3-point favorite over the Bears
still
too.
Wins. But that's it.
Yeah. I don't know.
You get three in the Cleveland, the dog pound, only three, not four. Three and a half.
I just don't think you can make any of these backup quarterbacks more than a 3-point like that's why Cincinnati, except it's backup versus backup. I think these
last time I checked, Flacco's
three.
Got a ring too. So
I don't know who this Flacco guy is you keep referring to, but all right,
got a ring.
I know he's got a ring, Harry, but yeah,
give the guy a little credit, give this team a little credit.
I'm giving him credit.
Send the odds makers.
I said he's top 4 or 5 in the as far as the AFC playoff teams right now. All right. Now I'm thrown off. What am I saying? Baltimore 3.5. This is a Sunday night game at Jacksonville. 43.5 is the over under. Weird spot for Jacksonville. I think everyone's counting them out, Bry.
Yeah.
I think this one's a little high. Ravens have injuries too. Duvernay is out. Return guy, Kyle Hamilton, MCL sprain. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ravens didn't look great last week.
I felt like this should have been like 2.5 or 3. 3.5 seems high, but I would say that Jacksonville's defense a couple straight weeks now. It's been awful. Non-existent. So
that's true.
Yeah, this is a hard game for me.
Stafford went up and down the field too last week.
Even with this line, because of this line, I feel like I'm leaning Ravens right now, or just to stay away.
This is a good one. I mean, Ravens, it was going to be a better game, but Ravens host the Dolphins New Year's Eve. I would think that would be for the number one seed, but who the hell? Now they have a 2-game lead over Miami. It feels like Baltimore's now got this. I don't know what's going on. All right, Monday, Philly, another one, 3.5 on the road at Seattle. Parlay Kid, 48's the over-under. Same here. I thought a little high. Although, how many games in a row can Philly blow, right?
Yeah, but again, a must win for the Seahawks, right? So,
well, tell me if Drew Lock, see, let's see, Harry's got nothing. Drew Lock is starting or not.
Yeah, well, again, that was a bit surprising to me the other day when that happened. And I think that's going to play a factor here in that game as well.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Eagles losing again. And that type of game. I think the spread is about right. Maybe a little high, but
a little high.
I think that's
right.
Eagles lost two in a row, but it's also a kitchen sink game for Seattle, right? Because if they're 6-8,
right,
the last three aren't bad. At the Titans, home for the Steelers, at the Cardinals, but I don't know. 6-8 is tough though,
on the road, considering 2 20-point losses in a row for Philly. Being 10-3, their point differential just +21. And Hurts, four of the last five games, under 210 yards passing, and they haven't had a rusher go for 40 yards in the last two games.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see a somewhat healthy Geno Smith in here. Give us a chance here. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk some college. We're going to talk some baseball. We'll be right back. All right, congratulations to Jaden Daniels and, more importantly, the Parlay Kid. Daniels wins the Heisman. Parlay Kid predicted that. What were the odds when you threw that out there in August?
14-1 at that time.
Nice.
Very good.
14-1. Look, well deserved. I know some people, there are a few people out there that kind of against it. It's a 3-loss team. I'm waiting for Harry's public apology as well about Jaden Daniels, who, when he mentioned when I mentioned LSU earlier in the season, he said something about he was not very good at Arizona State.
He wasn't.
Well, so would you say pro comparison, Lamar Jackson? For Daniels, I don't know.
I think so. Or bigger Kyle Murray, maybe.
I don't know. I'm very interested to see how he plays in the pros because he is kind of lithe, though. You know, he's mm-hmm. thin, but he throws a nice ball, and he's fast as heck. Could make a good. I'm looking forward to seeing him play in the pros.
503 first place votes. 2,029 overall versus 292 and 1,701 for Penix.
Yeah.
Big trends bucked here awards wise. Penix won the Maxwell Award, Bri, which what you get like 9 of the last 10 Heisman winners have won that.
Yeah. But you know,
how
many times I had to read what the awards meant because one's like best player. And I'm like, what's the difference? Somebody tell me the difference between the Maxwell and the Heisman.
And like, Daniels won the Davey O'Brien Award, which for the last 20 years, I think the Heisman. But it was weird going into it.
Well, right.
Well, go ahead, Harry. Harry, what's the record for apologies on one podcast?
I know. I'm not going to apologize because I agreed with Darren a lot of these times. I have no problem with Daniels winning it. It wasn't his fault. Brian's Kelly's defense was god awful this year, and LSU's three losses. Yep. The three losses were by 142 points. But I will say this: Daniels 50 total touchdowns, over 1,100 yards rushing. That's what sealed the deal, I think. Here. I just want to throw in that 17 of those 50 touchdowns were against Georgia Southern, Grambling, and Army. But Knicks had 46 touchdowns, played a much tougher schedule. The problem I don't have a problem with Daniels winning it. The problem I have is that I had Knicks at +185.
Knicks wasn't getting it.
Knicks before the USC game where he had 400 yards and four touchdowns. Okay, so then the next week, he goes to a -130 favorite. The next week, he goes for 383 at Arizona State, where, mind you, Arizona State only gave up 15 points to Washington this year. But he goes for 383 and six touchdowns at half against Arizona State. And the next week, he's all of a sudden, he's not the favorite anymore. Why? That's stupid.
Well, because the big games matter when they matter. That's it. Jaden Daniels didn't have big games like that, but he couldn't go 0-2 against Washington. It just wasn't getting it like that.
Yeah.
Both basically field goal games.
Some of the stats about Bo Nix, who had a great year, and I like Bo Nix, but some of the stats started coming out that, you know, literally had very few passes, like over 20 yards in the air on the season. Most of his passes are, you know, inside 10 yards.
Okay.
And it's fine. He did a great job in that offense. He was
Jaden Daniels went against better defenses. He went against better pass defenses. He went against, I looked it all up.
Knicks couldn't get it done at Auburn. He goes to the Pac-12 and he lights it up.
Yeah, but Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels couldn't do it at Arizona State. Maybe that's Herm Edwards. Yeah,
you can't even go by that.
But he does it in the SEC.
Everybody plays them four teams now.
Right.
So you can't even really go by that. All right. So that's your apology, Harry? I don't know. I don't know if that's
no problem with Daniels winning it. No problem.
Well, the weird thing is what I thought you were going to say, Harry, is because I can't even keep track of the text exchanges, but not too many three loss guys have won. This is the first one in
that's
a while.
True. Is that it wrong?
No, it's not. I'm saying Manziel. Manziel have two or three, Brian. He had two or three. I think I'm pretty sure Tim Tebow had three. And then there was somebody else.
But also Daniels wasn't really good in that Florida State game to start the season either. It wasn't really that good. Probably his worst game he played this year.
Well, that's good. That's why it was a game in August. That definitely helped. But anyway, congratulations to the Parlay Kid. Jaden Daniels wins. Six bowl games on Saturday. Oh, I think we might have football every day for the rest of the year. Saturday's a great day. How am I going to get out of this stuff? Six bowl games, you know, one of them, which was the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. What is that? Boise against UCLA, Harry. It's now the Gronk Bowl, LA Bowl. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's one of the better ones. They're not great, but six bowl games. We got three NFL games. We got a great UFC card. Lord, Brian, this is going to be fun.
I'll be in Vegas. I'd rather be at Harrison's birthday party, though. I really would.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's in the sand. I know you don't do well in the sand. It's, I don't know. Okay. You got to keep your composure. Yeah. By the way,
we got the FCS semifinals. Albany made it.
Right.
So Albany,
right,
this weekend?
Albany's, it's got to be, right?
Cortland's in the D3 finals. SUNY Cortland, D3 for two SUNY schools.
Look at this. Look what's going
on. Yeah.
Not bad.
Darren, SUNY Oswego plays in Vegas this weekend.
For basketball?
Number four in the country, Darren. Number four in the country in hoops.
SUNY's a flying high.
Number four in the country in hoops.
And most importantly, big news, Harry's fraternity that we talked about last week lost their charter. I think as we were talking about it.
What were the odds of that, Sal? You just so happened to look that up and found that?
I was looking it up. I don't know why. Why was I looking it up? Oh, I wanted to know if they were still around. That's why I was looking it up. And then I saw pictures. You knew that it was. Didn't you go to a reunion, Harry, like 10 years ago or something?
I never went.
You didn't go?
Aren't you an honorary member? Didn't someone?
No way.
No?
No way.
Okay.
I did. Our friend Larry, our mutual friend Larry, reminded us of, you know, it was a very, the fraternity was very closed off. But once in a while, they'd let you, you know, just randoms to the party. And I went one night. Larry went. And one of these guys, we won't say his name because he might still be there, but he gets up there and he says, being a Zeta Chi Zeta member has been the best 7 years of my life. And there wasn't a whiff of irony when he announced when he said that.
And Darren is from Smithtown.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oh,
all right. Well, that's good. That's
great. All the SUNY stuff. That's straight out of old school.
You Long Island
really
guys.
Was. Yeah, really was.
You Long Island guys.
15 years before. Ohtani signs with the Dodgers. I kind of like the way he did it. There was no drama. There was that nonsense that he was on a plane to Toronto and all that, but that ended up not being him. It was a guy from Shark Tank. They don't even really look alike if you compare them side by side. But now he's, this isn't going to work. First of all, it's $700 million for 10 years, and he's trying to defer all of it except $2 million a year. This can't happen. Manfred cannot allow this. This is just a way to circumvent the luxury tax, Parlay Kid, right? A and B, this is like if somebody trades their stud running back in fantasy and you're like, whoa, I would have given you more than, like, the Royals must be like, shit, I could have come up with $2 million a year and deferred the rest, right? I didn't know we could do this. It's all different rules. They can't allow this, right?
You guys are better business guys than me. I mean, they got to pay this up at some point, right? So what? I don't really know.
No, but the league, why have a luxury tax if you're allowed to do this,
right?
But
once they start paying money,
at some point
it's
going to affect
it. It's going to go against the luxury tax at some point, right? Like, I don't know. I get what you're saying.
I think this is a more of a joke. They know it's not going to go through, but like, all right, let's see if we get away with it. If we could, maybe we could defer all but 4 million.
I personally feel like what I've read, I feel like it's going to go through. Like, wow. I don't know.
Well, I guess, Sal, I guess the question is, what is not, I mean, I know from a business side and from a sports side, it's not great to do this, but if the players and the agent are okay with this structure of deal.
Well, this is what I've been long supporting this. Remember in football, I said, defer the call, you know, the Tom Brady did great. And that's honestly a big reason the Patriots, aside from him, did so well. He deferred most of his salary, a lot of his salary, so they could sign other guys. I said, if you could find an agent who would agree to this, this is absolutely the way to do it.
Right. So who is this, Brian? You know, because you're a business guy. Who is this more? Who does this help more, the Dodgers or Ohtani?
Like, Brian, you're a business guy?
No, not really.
Yeah, yes.
Look, I would say it's interesting, right? Because look, Ohtani, I mean, I'm very curious what everybody else was offering Ohtani. Like, you know, we got hung up on the $700 million, but they're basically saying instead of $70 million a year, this is real by deferring it, the value of it's really like $46 million a year by pushing it out those years. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe was the next best offer $500 million? They're like, look, we could either give you this or we give you $700, just push it out and we can sign more players. Like, it's a smart move. I don't know what's illegal about it until they put something in. Like, I don't know if they have something, a collective bargaining agreement that says you can't do this. Otherwise, how can you say now you can't do it?
It probably.
Unless some better practice. I don't know. Unless they have some.
It didn't matter. He probably had his mind made up. You know, he's coming from a Southern California team, which is kind of off the grid in the Angels. He wants to stay in Southern California. He likes it out here. It's nice out here. I'm sorry. Mikey Meatballs hates that he likes it out here, but it just is. So he goes from the Angels. What do? You go from the Angels, you go to the Dodgers, right? They're plus 550 to win the whole thing. They have a chance at least, and you're in the mix. But it does make me think, what do the Mets and Yankees think when they see something like this?
So
like,
is it possible, again, Brian, you're the money guy. I mean, but Brian is a money guy. I mean,
I know.
He was going to be Lil A's money guy, and Lil A's worth hundreds of million dollars.
Nice job.
But now, correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Because California, the taxes are out of control.
Right. That's going to change.
Okay. Right now, he makes his $2 million, moves out of California, collects all that money. Does that help him once he's retired?
That's the thing.
Right. So I'm not a money guy, but I just figured that out. Pretty smart. Genius move by Ohtani, then, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not saying that, of course. Well, let him figure it out. I'm sure it's generational wealth you can't even imagine. His kids are going to be fine. So it doesn't really matter, a few million here or there when you figure out taxes.
Are you talking about Ohtani or Little A?
or John Rob, which one?
Big O or Little A? There you go. All right. So anyway, that's it.
On the field with him not pitching, and the Dodgers pitching getting healthier into the next season, and with him DHing, how many wins is this Dodger team going to make? And what half? How many? Wins?
I don't know. I mean, but we see if it matters or not, right? The same thing happens every October, so they're exciting to watch. Brian, we'll live bet them when they're down 3 runs in the 7th, and we'll win a lot. But are they going to win the World Series? Who knows with all this stuff. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Oh, we got to talk about Harry's fantasy team. Right back. All right, we're wrapping things up. First of all, in-season tournament, the Lakers win. They beat the Pacers. I stumbled there. Did anyone make money off of this other than bench players, Damoy Hodge and Alex Fudge for the Lakers? No, I did not. I definitely did.
I had the Pacers, so I did not.
Oh, you did? Oh, you had them in the finals.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think. I feel like this tournament lives and dies with the Ringer's enthusiasm for it. So I'm not going to throw too much water on it, but I think it does need some changes. Right, Parley Kid? And if guys are going to sit out like this week because because they're all tournamented out, then it didn't really amount to anything, right?
I still don't really get it. I don't know how it ended up, like, in the long run, it ended up hurting the Knicks because they ended up playing more road games, a tougher schedule. Like, maybe you're better off tanking that tournament. I don't, It doesn't really make sense to me. I don't really get it.
I feel like there's a meeting, probably a team, not a team meeting, but that you have to decide if you do want to take, you don't want to lose the games that are going to count against the schedule necessarily. But yeah, there is something like, is the money worth the extra tough games? I don't know. So it's interesting. I don't know how they.
If the Knicks don't make the playoffs by a game or two, we're going to hear this all over again.
Of course. Yeah, that'll suck. Or if the Pacers, I guess it wouldn't count. Right. That last game doesn't count towards the standings.
That last game doesn't count. No.
Right.
All right. Another game that shouldn't have counted. Mine and Harry's fantasy game. I lost 68-67. It was back and forth. Harry now made the playoffs. Harry's team out of 10 teams has the eighth most points. Everybody's got a team like this. Pittsburgh Steelers-esque right now. My team sucked. Let me just say this right off the bat. My team sucked. I didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. I didn't draft well, and I had Kenneth Walker, who played like half the year, and I never got over Dobbins' injury. So that's why my team is bad. But Harry, for you to brag about your team when total points is really all that matters in these things.
For the first time, I'm allowed to brag a little for being in the playoffs for the first time in like 6 years. Plus, again, in our text chain last night, I drafted Mostert in the seventh round. I thought Brian said I drafted him in the fourth round. I drafted him in the seventh round. And when CBS Sports said best available, Mostert was 17th on the list at that time. And I still went with Mostert. And in the ninth round, I took Cortland Sutton.
I mean, Parley Kid, here's what I'll say to this, Harry. And
the Dolphins bailed me out last night with that defensive touchdown.
Right, exactly. So you can't just say my bad team got lucky. I'm in the playoffs. Hench has got a bad team that's in the playoffs in our other league, and he's like, "That's it. It's just how." I apologize. He's almost sheepish about it. And you're like, "Hey, look at me. I drafted great, and I'm a great coach too. I play." But how could you? The answer is you can't. But you can't draft great and be a great coach, manipulating your lineup and have the eighth most points. So which is it?
I've had issues aside from Sutton. I've had a lot of issues. The other two wide receivers we start. Goff has not been good at all lately. But my running backs, who wouldn't, if you're in the playoffs right now, who wouldn't want Bijan Robinson, Mixon, and Mostert as your three running backs? That's pretty good.
But Parley Kid,
Harry dropped Fields, right? Didn't Harry drop Fields?
I dropped Fields, but I picked him up again. Then I dropped him again.
There you go. It's this again, right? There you go. It's this. Oh, my
God. He was on my roster.
Oh, my gosh. Twice.
Parley Kid, how could he do? How could he? He brags about every pickup he makes off the waiver wire. So he brags about how he drafted, and he's eighth most points. What gives? How's he doing it?
Darren, I pick guys up on Saturday night just to annoy Sal on Sunday morning when he looks.
I don't look. Honestly, I don't. The annoying part is you bragging. Not that I lost. I promise. My team didn't deserve to make it. Yeah. But you should not be bragging about
it. I haven't played in the playoffs in ages. I can brag that I'm in the playoffs.
You've had better teams than this eighth place team that's making it, is what I'm saying.
Not so much. Yeah, I've had tons of injuries.
Harry's. We have two divisions, right? Harry's team. The last place team in my division, okay, the three of you are all in the terrible division. The last place team, the guy, you know, our buddy Frank and Joe,
and Joey,
Frank especially, who gets mocked about year after year about his team, is probably going to finish up with more points than Harry, and they're the last place team.
Well, not even last place, the least amount of points would have the most, more than the second, right? Is that what you're saying? I mean, that helps your argument.
Well, and Harry's not even in second. Yeah. He's in first in your division.
First,
this
baby.
This is what. So be this is pathetic. Sal, let's put it up to a vote.
Darren.
Why can't we vote this Harry out of the playoffs?
Because it benefits you.
If Florida State could be out of the playoffs, Harry can be out of the playoffs. His team is not a playoff type of team. It's terrible.
I agree. I don't know that this late in the season we can make this decision.
Terrible joke.
Should we go to that though? Should we go to that? There's a committee. We have like a three-person committee that.
I don't think the divisions are as big a deal anymore, though, Derek, because you play seven out-of-division games now that there's like an extra week. So I know what you're saying, but
I scored 129 one week and lost, Darren.
Can I tell you how we do it in a couple
of weeks? I can't even. What does that mean? You scored the rest of the week. So your point total is so low. If you had a week like that, that means you're averaging
you'd
like 60 points.
You kill in fantasy. You kill for those three running backs to choose from right now.
I mean, I don't know.
We'll screw it up. I mean, Harry's getting 68 points a week. It's crazy.
Well, if I start Mostert, like I said, and like an idiot, I started Gabe Davis instead of after I picked up Beckham.
So this
if
is
I
what
took
I mean.
Those guys, I score 93, and my kicker had minus one.
You're a great coach too. You talk about how you always make the right move too. So
I made the wrong.
Here's what I might suggest. I do that. I'm in so many leagues, but in two of my leagues, there's 12 teams. Six teams make the playoffs. The top five record wise, right? You get one division winner, you get another division winner,
right.
The other three. And then the sixth place team is the team with the most points that's not in the five that make it.
I like that.
Sure. You should. I like it. And that's maybe we should think about expansion next year.
Right.
So we can go to 12 and make that a legitimate that we right. bring in Finken.
And Joey gets his own team.
And Joey gets his own team.
Not doing that.
And Joey gets his own team. That's what we do.
Split up Paulie Shoney and Joey gets his own team.
We bring Coop in.
Can we please, like every other league in fantasy, 2-point conversions count? Please,
Harry. You didn't answer the Coop thing. Can we bring in Coop?
I want to bring Coop in. Can we send an invite to Coop?
I mean, imagine Coop a week 15. I know I run the risk of getting in trouble here, but imagine a week 15 game.
Coop's
Harry against Ben Kelly, meaning the sixth seed in the playoffs.
Let's bring him in. Sorry. Ben Kelly.
Wow. You know what? That's the answer.
I'm not supposed to say his name. Sorry.
All right. Yeah. You screwed up. We're not cutting it out. Listen, by the way, Parley Kid, I thought about this because now I have a little time here. I know why you're so upset about the Florida State thing. You don't give a crap about Florida State, but the circumstances are so similar to one that you experienced that you don't like it. We had a softball team and I had moved out here. I was a part of this softball team for many, many years. And I'm going to get this part wrong, but I think after I left, you came in first place, right?
Yeah.
And but were not invited to the playoffs.
Yes.
Is that right? Because we had a weird personal thing with the commissioner of the league and he ultimately said, hey, this is an invitational.
Exactly.
You don't get to go automatically. We tell you, regardless of your record, if you get to go. And this stuck in your craw for so many years. It's now been 15 years since this happened. And you're still upset about it on behalf of Florida State, right?
And last time I stepped foot on a competitive softball field was that after that. That was
wow.
That took me into softball retirement. I was planning on playing at least another 5 to 10 years.
Right.
That did it. And you're right. Yes. I think we finished like at least 24-4 that year, maybe 25-3. Mm-hmm. And as you
not
know, because you played with us for many, many years, mm-hmm. that you finished in a certain spot, you went into the playoffs. And then no call came around. I made a phone call. What's going on? Oh, we're just not inviting you. You're not invited. We didn't get invited. How? And then that was it. We never played again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That SOB.
If you would have stuck it out and still played, that suspicious 800 batting average in softball that you claim you had.
That's the only good thing is I got to kind of retire while still in my prime.
Exactly. You don't want Mickey Mantle's last 3 years. Take 20 points off your average. Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, my 800 average 800 was maintained. 800 average. Yeah, so
he was right there, Harry. He's right there.
Right field hits?
I'd say 75% were right
field hits. It wasn't until Darren's last 2 or 3 years that he started pulling the ball more. He still went to right.
Because of my back. I was having back issues. So,
well, maybe that's what they thought. They're like, we don't want this poor guy's injured. We don't want him in this tournament risking further injury.
Yeah. You guys know I had pretty good power to the opposite field. I wasn't like a slap hitter to the right side.
No.
I
was able to. You'd hit that gap between right and center. Like,
a technique of walking up into the ball. But then because of my, I wasn't able to do that as well because of my back. So I started to pull the ball more.
Well, it's smart because the parlay kid would come up there as a righty, and there's four outfielders in softball, and they would shade everybody, as they did with all the righties, to the left side. So there'd be a left center fielder, and a left fielder, essentially. And you would find that gap often between right and center, right? And
there's always a little bit more of a gap in right center.
Right.
Unless you're playing smart teams, then they would know, like, this guy goes to right.
After a couple
at
bats, you figure it out. But I don't remember why. What was the big beef that they didn't? It was like an argument, right? Yeah. Why wouldn't they let it in?
Controversial because
we won it the year before.
Yeah. So we won it the year before. We were supposed to move up a division, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. And I don't make those decisions.
Right.
And then we won the league again. So it was like, you won it 2 years in a row. So sorry, you should have been up a division, which still would have put us into the same playoff, though. Didn't really matter. You know, like divisions 1, 2, and 3 played playoffs, 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. We were still would have been. It made no sense, Sal. And for guys who showed up and played hard for about 25 years, played mm-hmm. hard every game, there was really no, except maybe one, very little drinking in the dugouts.
Harry play very hard when he pinch hit with a baseball bat? I don't know if that's playing hard.
Harry, the stats will show that he was 0-for-5 with us in the years.
Wow. That's a lie,
Harry. That's not good.
And he got called out on strikes because he used an illegal bat.
You guys still think Finken was the worst softball player on the team ever?
I mean, you know, he couldn't get out of the 200s, right? I mean, Harry's going to tell him this immediately, so it doesn't, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, he's already called me 5 times today.
All right.
5 times today already.
Finken was super fast. Super fast.
He was fast.
He said he was fast. He says he was the fastest on the team, he told me.
If you could bunt in slow pitch softball, which you can't, he would have been in good shape. But all right, let's wrap it up.
The
swinging bunt almost got us killed, though,
that's right.
Sal.
Yeah, exactly. Did you hear Harry at the end there? He'd have your back anytime in a fight. He has to get that in there. Someone here reports back. doesn't look like a scumbag.
Right.
Well, listen, tomorrow's show. Now we have to do this Raiders Chargers thing, and worse yet, we have to pick a first touchdown. Will someone pick Jacobs, please, as a first touchdown? Just someone, because we're 1-for-52. Oh, I'm so mad that we got the one. I'm so mad that we got the one right. One first touchdown call in 52 guesses combined, because we would have been going to Ty DiMaggio streak here, right? 0-for-56 would have been terrific.
I'll take five. Anyway.
We'll preview that. We'll take a bowl game or two. We'll go over all that stuff. Like I said, big UFC card on Saturday. Great, great football weekend. Lots of fun. That's going to do it. Another episode of Against All Odds for Mikey Meatballs and the D3. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call
800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.